The end of an era at Airbus, and if you're popping the big question today, how green is your diamond? This is the Marketplace Morning Report live from the BBC World Service. I'm Anu Anand. Good morning. Now, if you've never flown first class on a double-decker Airbus A380, you've missed the spa in the sky, not to mention the lounge, bar, and flatbed seats with the biggest TV screens. Well, existing planes will still fly, but this morning Airbus announced the end of production. At a press conference, Airbus boss Tom Enders said it was a tough decision.
I use the word painful, and I mean it, certainly painful to take the decision after all the effort, after all the money, after all the sweat that many, many thousand employees, and the CEO occasionally included, have poured into that program. But in business, we have to base our decisions not on emotions or wishful thinking, but on facts.
And the cold hard fact was that Emirates, the biggest customer of the A380, reduced its order. Mr. Enders said production will stop in 2021, marking the end of an era.
I think what we're seeing here is the end of a large four-engine aircraft, and that is what it is. I mean, there has been speculation for years whether we were 10 years too early with 380. I think it becomes clear that we were probably at least 10 years too late or more. But in retrospect, it's all easy. However, let me stress one point here, and I hope you appreciate, because I know many of you love to fly on the 380. We're talking about the end of the production of the 380 in 2021. We're not talking about the end of a program. There will be still plenty of opportunity to ride on this fantastic aircraft.
Airbus CEO Tom Enders. Let's do the numbers. Orders of the A380 may have stalled, but the company's better-than-expected results helped Airbus shares take off, rising more than 5%. Elsewhere, stock markets are mixed amid further U.S.-China trade talks. An unexpected surge in Chinese exports in January had little bearing on markets. China's huge trade surplus with the U.S., a source of anger within the Trump administration, narrowed from December to $27.3 billion. Now, Germany narrowly avoided recession at the end of last year. Europe's biggest economy missed its estimate for 0.1% growth, holding flat. Dr. Timo Wolfsmerhauser is with the IFO Institute at the University of Munich.
The reasons for the slowdown in the German economy are in the German industry, and this is only part of the German economy. If you look at consumption, if you look at the construction industry, these are all factors which are currently supporting growth. What is definitely true is that the German industry is in recession since the middle of last year.
Nevertheless, doesn't a slowdown in Germany impact the rest of Europe?
Definitely. For example, if you look at the automotive industry, a great part of what the German automotive industry is producing has been imported before from the rest of the world, mainly Eastern Europe. So if the German car industry has problems in selling its products to the rest of the world, then this is, of course, has an impact also on those parts of Europe or the rest of the world where we are importing our intermediate goods.
Timo Wolfsmerhauser. Valentine's Day is the second most popular day to get engaged, and a greater proportion of those engagement rings are lab-grown synthetic or green diamonds. The lab-grown jewelry market is worth just under $2 billion globally, and it's projected to grow 22% every year.
But diamonds are a girl's best friend.
My favorite piece of jewelry is obviously my engagement ring.
Claire Beetson Proctor got engaged 2 years ago, and like most women, she was given a coveted diamond ring.
That moment is just kind of engraved on my memory. Every time I look at the ring, it just reminds me of that.
Okay, so this is the CVD diamond lab.
Increasingly, those diamonds are not being dug out of the earth, but created over a few weeks in labs like this one, where the environmental impact is considerably less. Paul May is a hydrologist at the CVD Diamond Lab at the University of Bristol.
Diamond has a vast array of different applications, apart from the obvious ones like cutting tools and things like this. It can be used in quantum computers. It can be used in things like bioimplants. It can be used as a nuclear battery. There's a whole range of applications.
These diamonds aren't the sparkly ones you'd wear, but new factories for lab-grown jewelry are springing up in the US, UK, China, and Russia, and demand globally is growing. Just a third of US retailers even offer lab-grown diamonds, but those that do market the stone's green credentials. De Beers, the iconic firm that convinced us diamonds are forever and which still controls about 30% of the world's supply of mined stones, has also got into the act. Paul Zimnisky is an independent diamond analyst in New York.
De Beers is producing the diamonds in the UK, and they're exclusively selling them through their Lightbox website.
He says De Beers wants to keep the two diamonds separate, lab-grown diamonds as cheaper fashion items, good for a birthday gift, and traditional mined stones for a special occasion. As more lab-grown diamonds are made, prices will come down.
The production technologies are going to improve, and I think when we're looking, you know, 2-3 years into the future, most all lab-created diamonds are going to be under, you know, $1,000.
Down a cobbled lane through green gates in the historic English town of York, Ryan Atkins offers both kinds of diamonds to customers at his bespoke jeweler's Nightingales. He finds there is a gender gap when it comes to their appeal.
So when we sit down with a guy, I'd say probably around 50% of guys then choose the lab-grown option. Whereas women come for an appointment, it's more like 80 to 90% of women opt for the lab-grown option. From the conversations I've had with the guys, they just don't want to get it wrong.
Diamond! With a lab-grown diamond costing much less than a mined one, you just get more rock for your money.
It's bigger, sparklier. Why not?
Ooh, this ice is nice.
Finally, news that the car company Ford is got a bed, lane-keeping beds that uses sensors to nudge bed hoggers back to their own side. It's not going to be available to the general public, though. Not yet, anyway. I'm Anu Anand with the Marketplace Morning Report, live from the BBC World Service.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.